Blog Talk Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld. Help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worsening heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ritter. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Radio.
Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Tuesday, so we'll have Kayla joining us here. And if you have anything out there in Radio Land, go ahead and call in. The number here is 319-527-6208. And press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into today's conversation. So let's go ahead and bring in Kayla.
Good evening, everybody. How are you doing, Proof?
I'm more tired than normal, but that's about it. What's the latest? What's the word on the street out there?
Oh, I want to ask you, it's something I've been curious about since RFK said he was, or Junior, said he was going to run for president. Oh, what are your thoughts on that? Because I don't know if I'd go for Trump or him.
Well,
I know I'm excused.
I will tell you, and I don't know if I told you this or other people, but the globalist would rather have Ron Paul or Donald Trump be president before they would ever let Robert Kennedy Jr. even think about becoming president. So I wouldn't get my hopes up. The good news on that, though, is that he might be on the short list for the for Donald Trump as the vice president, but
They don't want
Brandon, but they can work around Brandon. And I don't think Grissom has the support. And Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a very nice lady, her and Barry Satoru, are, from what I heard, are going to be in Kenya for at least a year.
Yeah, and on that note, don't you have to be in a country, or at least in Africa, for a year before you can apply for citizenship?
In Africa? I don't know.
Yeah. Just something I thought was interesting when it came to Obama disappearing on us. But at least they wouldn't be running again. Well, Michelle wouldn't be.
Yeah, well, I think that takes Big Mike out from what I gathered, that particular pronoun did not really want to run for president, but they could talk or they can kind of strong-arm that person into doing it, maybe. But she doesn't have the interest, or they doesn't have the interest.
Actually happy to hear that, because I would not trust our country in that particular person's hands. Look at what they've already done to us.
Grissom wants it, but there's enough people that have moved out of California that will tell everybody not to vote for Grissom, and it's very hard to vote for him when he leads the United States in percentage of residents leaving your state and very bad economic policies. Nobody wants that nationwide.
I don't think the people voted for him in the first place, Newsom. I think that was another rigged election. Or maybe the people were really, really that unaware of how bad he would be.
Well, I don't think that the Democrats have anyone else. I think that they have no choice but to stick with Brandon.
I mean, who else are they going to get that they can sit there and usher around? He should be in a nursing home with 24-hour care. They're rushing him around as their little puppet. It's sad to see.
Yeah.
I used to work in a nursing facility and an assistant care facility specifically, which got turned into like under the table nursing or nursing home people we weren't even remotely qualified to work with. And I'll be honest, he exhibits quite a few of the traits I saw in some of my residents who, they wouldn't know where they were. They'd stare blankly. He just reminds me of them so much. And it's shocking.
Well, that's what we're going to get.
Well, I mean, he's easy to control.
They're not going to let Robert Kennedy Jr. run against Trump. That would be the opposite of what the globalists would like.
I mean, yeah, he, unlike Trump, he's actually talked about how the vaccines are killing people. He's talked about COVID being made in the bio. Well, I can't say Trump didn't say that. He did say it came from China. But he's not entirely, he hasn't escaped over that whole conversation. But
yeah, but
vaccine,
at the same time, if he takes Kennedy as his vice president, then, or Rand Paul, if he takes Rand Paul also, then
issue could
be tabled because he would have somebody around him that knows better.
Right? That's what I really, really hope that they, even if it is Rand Paul, I would love that. So Rand Paul and RFK Jr. are two of my favorite people right now that's actually talking out about the reality of the situation that's been going on for the last 3 years. And it makes me hopeful that they'll run. But do you even think they would allow them to run together?
Well, Trump could pick anybody he wants. It doesn't have to be a particular party. He can get someone to cross over.
Which I think would probably be the best. You'd have both sides happy with one of the candidates because no one's happy with Brandon. I don't know. That's just something that made me excited. Now, we can move on to other news if you like.
I don't care. I'm in no rush.
Okay. I know when it comes to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., again, as I said, he has actually been up there on the forefront on the topic of the vaccines, the damage they're causing. This was even...
Which is exactly why Big Pharma won't let him go far. But I have to look at Robert Kennedy's background also because I don't want a one-topic pony.
No, you're right on that.
I want to make sure that, he has two topics. He's anti-war as well. And he's very vocal about that.
I don't think I've heard him talk on that topic. What did he have to say about that topic?
No, I just know over the years he's fought against, maybe fought might be a bad term because of it being a war, but he speaks loudly. He has spoken loudly about going to war ever since Vietnam.
Okay, so he's
one of few Democrats that actually aren't warmongers, so I'm good with that. Which means that there's another globalist base that would not like Kennedy because they want death and destruction.
I can't even argue with that because it's true. They want to depopulate us. It's been proven now that the mRNA stuff is actually already in pork.
Yeah.
So we know they're poisoning us. And then on Tom Rand's article about the mRNA injections being moved into the cattle and other food products, they actually completely censored the article. They made it where if you clicked on it, it's not there anymore.
Right, I know.
Tom
Renz is in my Facebook friends. I just haven't asked him if he can come on the show.
Hopefully someday you get to have a conversation with him. I'd love to listen in on that one. I was listening in on last week's episode on Thursday, and I was actually very shocked to hear about the little white girl who got shot at, and no one seems to care.
No, it seems like it's okay. By the way, did you hear why allegedly Don Lemon got fired from fake news?
No, I've been trying to look it on Tucker, and when I was looking on what was going on with Tucker, I heard about Don Lemon being let go too, and I was like, wait, why?
Well, over the last few months, Don Lemon has been like one argument away from getting fired, and he couldn't help himself. He had the Republican candidate, not Trump, but B-Tech, whatever his name is, and I feel bad about that, but I don't remember his last name. But he's running for president. He actually has some decent points. His family background is from India, but he's first-generation born American.
Okay. I don't think I've heard about
I don't think he's a bad candidate. I think he's halfway decent. And out of nowhere, Don Lemon just comes out with, look, I have black skin, so I'm not racist. And you, whatever race you are, you can't talk to me about racism until you have black skin.
What?
And that just, and then someone tried to get in his, because he has an earpiece and they tell him when to go to break and stuff. And someone was telling him to walk back the comments. And he says, you know what? I don't need this. And he took the earpiece out and says, I'm not going to listen to you. And he just went off. And then that was it.
So wait, he got mad because, or they got mad because he said if you're not black, you don't understand racism?
It's the way he said it. And being someone from India, when your skin is almost as dark as a black person,
you're usually targeted too.
Yeah, because you're lumped into that Middle Eastern crowd that even though he's not Middle Eastern, they will look at him and talk to him like he's a piece of garbage sometimes.
Which,
regardless, you can't go on air and say, I know more about racism than you, and unless you have the same skin color as me, you're racist. You can't do stuff like that. I'm not saying that's exactly verbatim what he said, but it was close.
No, you can't sit there and say that because, while yes, I understand racism is a very real thing, I don't understand a good portion of it because I myself am not black or Hispanic or Indian. I've seen it happen. I've seen people get
racist. Yes, but at the same time, you can't say just because you're race X and I'm race Y, I'm better than you and you can't talk to me about it. If you can't have a decent civil conversation, then don't bring it up.
No, I completely agree on that topic. Because at the end of the day, well, so there's a recent professor that I found that I actually enjoy, and I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago at one of the shows. He was going around asking people in his class, what does this mean? Basically, to have white privilege. And they go into it on how everything is stacked against them, and there's a lot of people out there who are racist towards white people.
Mm-hmm.
They have a free pass now. So you can't say only I know about this because I'm doing that. What? It's a slur. If you go after somebody, then you're a horrible person. And you think I know more about it than you. What did you go to that makes you know more than what Indian can be?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm extremely fed up and tired of I'm this color, and you can't talk to me because you're that color. It's just, it's over. It's done with, and people don't want to hear that anymore.
No, a lot of people don't, because I thought we fought to get equality between all the races, and now you want to get revenge instead of equality. How do we better ourselves as a society if we want to fall into, well, they have this now, I want this, that they don't even have anymore? No, I did not hear that what happened with him.
So who knows what network he'll go to, if any. Tucker Carlson will be fine. Who knows what he does? Maybe he'll start his own thing.
Everyone is speculating what he'll do, where he might go. I even saw a poll that they released. Where do you want to see Tucker go? Somewhere on Telegram. And the results right now, everyone wants him to go to Rumble. Or, well, 40% of the people who voted wanted him to go to Rumble. 20% was like Telegram. 20% start your own thing.
Well, he can start his own platform and have Rumble.
That's true. You can always share your videos on all the platforms or your podcasts, anything.
Yeah.
He's
well known enough, so it's not like if he comes out, the people will know who he is. But he has to come back fairly quick. I don't want him to take a year and a half.
No, and honestly, do you think he's going to sit out that long after having that type of an insult for him being let go like that? No, I think Tucker, he's actually questioned what's going on. I don't even watch the rest of Fox News. I really only went on there for Tucker, myself. Anyway.
Well, Greg Gutfeld is okay from the clips that I pulled, and I did grab one. But outside of that, I'm not a Fox guy, and I'm not a huge fan of Greg Gutfeld. He just has some really good clips sometimes.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that. There are times certain people on there, they can have a good moment. But the majority of them, they feel as scripted as CNN or MSNBC to me.
So, do you feel as though I'm wrong on Robert Kennedy Jr.? Do you think he has a chance to win?
I think if he were able to run and they don't somehow mess up the preliminary...
I'm not even going to...
I think a lot of people would vote for him. I think you'd have people vote for him simply for the fact that he was related to Kennedy. He's his nephew. He probably has the same standards as that president had. So they would probably stand up behind him and vote for him just for that. I personally, while I don't want to be a one-issue voter, this particular issue the last 3 years has been so big, it is one I vote for him on. But I have seen a video where he was against us having certain guns or something, but I don't know. I didn't get to see who was sitting. It was like a clip of it. So I don't know how edited that was. But if he ran with Trump, I think he would win in a league.
Yeah, I just feel as though he might... See, he's a classic Democrat, so don't ever think that he's a Republican or anything like that, because he really isn't. He's just one of those old-school Democrats, which is fine. I don't think the average person really minds having a normal, rational Democrat in there. He's not a radical leftist, which means that the radical left won't have somebody to vote for.
No, that would be a moment where they're probably out in the streets screaming and crying like, this isn't fair.
Yes.
I don't know. Part of me wants to see that outcome just because I think that would be hilarious. But overall, I would genuinely Probably. I think I'd vote for him. Depending upon how the debates went between him and the other candidates, if he...
Yeah, and I was debating on this, actually. And maybe it might be worthwhile for you. I don't know. But you could switch your political affiliation to Democrat just to vote for Kennedy and then switch back if it comes to it.
You're not wrong. And, I mean, we've still got time to switch both of them, actually. I mean, we could switch.
Well, you could. I would look at it in December and see who's serious in there. And if it looks like maybe you could make a difference, I would switch parties just to vote against Brandon and see what happens.
Well, on my end, as I said, I grew up Democrat because that's what my family was. I obviously grew out of that, but I just learned recently because, I'll be honest, I don't think we were actually taught any of the voting process when I was in school because I didn't know this. But I meant to go to our midterm last year. They wouldn't let me vote for an independent, and they wouldn't let me vote for a Republican because I was still under Democrat. And
right.
I just, that blows my mind. How is that a fair election if I can't actually fairly vote? You're tailoring the vote based on some party? That's not how that's supposed to work. At least that's how I see it.
Like I said, I would look around November, December and see where each candidate is. And I feel confident that Trump is not going to have that much of an issue against any other candidate. So if you had to pick political sides for the Democrat election and then switch back, who knows? I might even do that.
Given the time and how he responds in the political debate, I might have to join you.
Well, Brandon said there will be no debates. He's not doing a debate for whether it's the primary or the general election. He said there's no debates.
That could be such a red flag to everybody. That's like what a dictator says.
Well, of course.
No, I'm not.
But that's what he thinks he is, so...
So it's the exact same thing with the way he ran his campaign. He's not going to do anything.
Well, of course. He could run on his record. His record could do all the talking.
Oh, well, with the whistleblowers coming out now against Hunter Biden, I don't think his record's going to be very clean.
Yeah, but do you really think, Hunter, that they're going to do anything about him?
Honestly, from what I'm seeing, people are talking about it. It's not just one-sided from the conversations I've been having, but it isn't as widespread, I guess, as I would personally like those conversations to be. So they probably won't, in all honesty. It will probably be swept under the rug. People aren't going to pay attention to the fact that we have an entire family up to James Comer, actually, the House Oversight Committee chairman. He was talking to Maria Barrett-Troma, I think her name is, or Troma. Oh, I'm butchering her name, I know it. Yeah. And he talked about how, maybe, I'm very off, yes. He was talking to her about how there are over 9 known family members in the Biden family that have taken money from these LLCs that doesn't sell anything. They're being, like, these payments from different countries are being sent to these LLCs that the Bidens own. Then that money gets transferred to the Bidens, but there's no actual product for them to be selling to get this type of money. So not only is there money laundering, what are they selling? I'm going to say trade secrets as a guest.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's liberal.
No, I hate when you say that because I know I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're completely right, and I hate the fact that that's how it is.
Yeah, I'm not happy about always being right, but I am a professional.
Well, Mr. Comer mentioned that it's possibly up to 12 family members that were actually involved in this, and the whistleblower coming out, I believe, is from the IRS and has these statements and documents.
Yes, and the thing about that is that they've been begging to reveal his name because they want to go after him and show him some business.
I would like to say they want to Clinton-side him.
Yes.
Who else has 56 friends who just randomly die and for no reason?
People at gene therapies, maybe?
And they volunteer for that since they're willingly getting it.
Yeah, but remember Vince Foster killed himself even though he had handcuffs on and he was shot in the back with a rifle. And even though he couldn't reach it because he had handcuffs on and behind his back, he shot himself in the back and then chopped himself up with... and put himself in a duffel bag after he chopped himself up and drove miles away and left it in the middle of nowhere. And that was a suicide. So he chopped his own body up and put himself in a duffel bag and drove 50 miles away to drop himself off.
I mean, damn, that's going to take quite a bit of talent to do that if you're dead.
He could have been on America's Got Talent, but that show didn't exist at the time.
Right, he would have gave, he would have given Harry Houdini a run for his money.
So you shared a clip with me that's like 5 minutes or 4.5 minutes, and I had a problem downloading it, but I could play it off my computer.
Okay, the video that I shared with you, I was, if you found validity in it, I was going to ask to play it.
Okay.
Supposedly, this is the FDIC, and they're talking about essentially not telling people how bad the situation is getting with the banking system.
If they tell you how bad it is, then that means everybody will take their money out, and then it will implode faster. So they want to do it as a sneak attack.
Yep, and trying to tell people about that, it just does not get through to them. But that video that I shared with you, it's a random TikToker who was sharing this meeting that these people had, the FDIC. And as I said, they even flat out say they don't want to tell the people who are of a different class. They even say they have a specific group of people who will know. And then they're saying after it's happening, they're going to warn us on a Friday. So that way the bank runs won't be massive on that day. Because most people probably aren't paying attention to that news on a Friday. They're more like, it's Friday, it's the weekend, yay. But it reminds me, I don't remember if this was an Alex Jones whistleblower. I think it was. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. It was a woman who was talking about how she knows that when the system crashes, she said there will be a virus and the banks will close on Friday. And now you have the FDIC people talking about it, and it just brought that particular whistleblower back to mind when I didn't have time to go and actually look for that video.
All right, so let's play this clip then. It's going to come off my personal audio here.
Let's do it.
You're going to see members of the FDIC and other panel discussions in this FDIC meeting. It's not just FDIC members. It's lawyers, it's bankers, but they're all around the table admitting that a crash is coming. This is amazing. Watch.
Bank debt today is not what it was before. It is not principal protected by design. And I think that that expectation, I like how you started off, Betsy, like it's all about expectation setting. And I think that is absolutely critical. If that doesn't hold, this whole thing doesn't hold.
I mean, it's important that people understand they can be bailed in, but you don't want a huge run on the institution. But, they're going to be.
Oh, my God, they might panic, and they might actually want their own money that they worked 40 years of their lives for. And they're also saying publicly in this meeting, and they all kind of laugh about it, that they don't have any faith in the banks.
I think you've got to think of the unintended consequences of taking a public that has more full faith and confidence in the banking system than maybe people in this room do.
So we don't have faith in the banking system in here, and they all laugh. They're like, yeah, none of us do. We're the FDIC. Listen, though, to the next guy.
I completely agree with that. I almost think you'd scare the public if you put this out. Like, why are they telling me this?
Can't tell the little people what's really going on here. It'll just scare them, and their little brains can't handle it.
If my insurance company doesn't tell me what they're doing with my assets, they just assume they're going to pay my claim. We want them to have full faith and confidence in the banking system. They know the FDIC insurance is there. They know it works. They put their money in. They're going to get their money out. It should be accessible when people need to know. But I don't think you have much hope of reaching the public that doesn't have a professional need to know.
They also admit on camera that they don't want you to know this because only people who need to know that it's coming should be notified, i.e. the wealthy.
So there's a select crowd of people that are in the institutional side. And if they want to understand this, they're going to find a way to understand this. There's a bunch of law firms represented in this room. There's a bunch of people who charge them by the hour, a lot of money to explain this all to them.
You common people shouldn't be told because you would take your money out of the banks and then you wouldn't be, and then they wouldn't be able to use your money for bail-in purposes to save the bank. When the collapse comes, the FDIC admits that they will send out an announcement. So get ready for this. They admit they will send out an announcement, and they will tell us not to use money. This is how that's going to go down. They tell us that they plan on telling us on a Friday night.
So that if and when we do have to have that announcement on Friday night, ideally Friday night, that people are in a position to receive it, understand it, and say, yeah, that works. And we can see how this will happen. Of course, there will be doubters, but there's a lot of things going on. What we want to hear from you today is what you think would the priorities would be in order to go about setting expectations appropriately in public about how we would execute Title II.
They're admitting, like, this is coming. And they're saying that they managed to pull their money to safety, you know, the rich people will pull their money to safety ahead of time. But most people were totally screwed because they weren't in the know. This is what happened in 2020. Right. They weren't Bill Gates. They didn't get the heads up, the phone call from Nancy Pelosi.
And they all have huge staffs. But I would be careful about the unintended consequences of starting to blast too much of this out in the general public.
The idea that these people are sitting there waiting for these things to unfold and they're going to see that the rich people will be fine. And he brings up the point throughout the meeting where we've got to try to basically convince these rich people just to keep in the system. It's kind of like the Bernie Madoff story again.
You can tell whether people understand how the who's going to be protected, who isn't going to be protected.
Moves because we alerted them. They sold their stocks. They were in the know. They were fine. And you got screwed. Like, if he can keep those four or five big guys in the game, then he can support this house of cards. So if the expectation doesn't hold, then this whole phony house of cards collapses, is basically what he's saying.
You believe that absolute evil exists on the planet? You are just looking at a meeting of it.
All right. No, I understand that. That's not shocking to me.
No, it's not shocking at all. It's something that I feel like we should expect. They're not going to tell us we're not important to them. We're the bread and butter of this country. We are the ones who actually keep it running, the people every single day who are going to work. basically living their lives for a paycheck. They're not even having experiences. They don't even experience life anymore. But they're going to have to take all these people's paychecks right out from underneath them. And we can spend them on crashes. Dumb is not going to be worth anything.
Well, yeah, they definitely don't want us to know because they want to be able to control us, and it'll be our faults, even though we didn't do anything wrong, but they're going to talk to us like it is, like it's time for us to, we're the bad people, is what I'm trying to say.
Basically, we are the, what was it, useless eaters they reference us as?
Yes.
Greed. And I don't know, there are times when I'm like, are these people really human? Like, do they have souls? The way that they go about treating humanity, they have to have this some kind of God complex or something. I don't know what it is, but this is not what you do in society. You don't corner governors just so you can make it somewhere and do something.
Well, yeah, but they feel they're better than you because they have money and you don't.
If only we could find a way to live without money as our main thing, then we wouldn't be controlled. But now they're controlling the food too, so much for us to undo, I guess the word is. Like, we need to reverse this. We need to go back. We need to change everything. I guess at least that's how I personally feel on that topic. They have taken what freedoms we did have and they've turned it into their personal playground. Our lives are very toy with. So, have you seen the Project Veritas videos? I haven't watched the third one. It just came out like an hour or two ago.
No, I didn't see it if it came out an hour ago.
The last couple of days, they've released two other videos that were concentrated on the health professionals, how they went to 8 different states and went to centers and clinics that are specifically more so leaning towards how to transition people.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Okay, so I'm going to be making a reference. I wrote all this stuff down because it was one I was like, I need to have my thoughts written on this topic. So I'm just going to say it references WPATH, which is the World Professional Association of Transgender. So I have written this. Sorry if it sounds written. I'll try to not. But so it talks about several different doctors, several different states, several different clinics. And I'll go over what each of these people have said. Well, not each of them, but a portion of them. So Dr. Daniel Metzger, a pediatric endocrinologist in the British Columbia Children's Hospital, spoke about Dutch researchers who have discovered many transgender people who were transitioned as children or teens have major reproductive regrets. It's not something the kids, they don't mentally understand what that means. So these kids are completely unaware, so that means they're not fully informed on this decision, but they're not in the right state of mind to take into that consideration. seriously on that topic of one day you might want to have a child. And the particular doctor says that bothers him, but he wants them to be happier in the moment, right? So they don't kill themselves. Which also, you have many of these doctors saying something parents are constantly told with transgender children. You either have a dead child or a living child. Make your choice.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of trans being like the most important thing to talk about. I'm so burned out of Dylan Mulvaney and trans people and being told that I'm too cisgendered and I'm what's wrong with society because I don't want my junk removed from my body.
You're normal. People for some reason hate that.
Yeah, because they can't control you. It went from them wanting their personal freedom to do stuff to you have to be just like them or else you don't exist, which is what they accused us of.
Transgender people make up, 1% of the Earth's population?
I take it you're not looking to whack any privates off.
God no. I'm very happy with who I was born as. But before that question, what did you say? Because I had a thought and then I got back sidetracked.
Oh, I don't know. I say lots of crazy things that I don't remember.
You know what? I have that issue too. So I'll try and shorten a little bit of this. So basically it goes in on how there are certain facilities that even they'll have or they've had nurses claim 10-year-olds are coming into these facilities by themselves and starting the transition process, and they're actually allowing them. There's another several facilities, one in Texas, which surprised me. I guess they Texas is not exactly that one, but they talk about how they actually do have resources to help underage children that are illegal that have no documentation. They even say, like, well, we're not going to tell the authorities about their status. We don't want to lose a patient. But, you know, once you start that process and they mutilate your body, you are going to be on those hormones for the rest of your life. So you're going in to get a shot of testosterone every month. That's about $50 a month. Then you get a lifelong customer. And on the undocumented part, I feel like children being transitioned at 9, 10 years old, starting it, I feel like that's part of the human trafficking ring for people who are obsessed with that particular fetish. So I was going to mention real quick the dangers of putting children on puberty blockers. Before puberty, before you go through puberty, none of these hormones go through your body as you transition. When you actually start going through puberty, your body has to fully mature before you start any puberty blockers, or else you get stuck in the Tanner stage 2, which means you will never sexually mature. Even if you revert back to who you were before and didn't have surgery and get rid of your pieces to have kids, they don't have any studies done to prove that it's possible to fix what's in your purpose. None of the studies. They don't help any of those people. So the WPATH, which is the professionals for transgender health, they went around and updated their standard care last September, where they lowered the age of puberty blockers to 9 years old. And from 9 to 11 is when you are going through that Tanner stage 2 and maturing. And the woman, well, I think if a man transitioned to a woman, I could be wrong, but the president of the WPATH actually publicly said, you never experience sexual orgasm or sexual maturity if you are on those blockers at that age and time. But then they never actually, they said that in June or July, and then they, in September, went and changed it to 9-year-olds anyway. That's their guidelines. Basically, you are castrating children with those chemicals at 9 years old. And it stunts a part of their actual growth. There's actually a part of the WPATH guidelines have been influenced also by the UNIC archive. The UNIC archive is a massive sickening. It's basically a fetish site all around genital mutilation. And you have people who are professors in California and other states who are promoting all of this to the WPATH, who have been the founding members of this UNIC archive since 2001. And there's over 10,000 stories on there about raping people who have been genitalia mutilated. And these people are doing the guidelines for transgender health. That is my condensed version of this.
Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of...
I don't know if you've seen my cartoon character, Liberal Person.
Is that the new Broccoli
Yes.
Man?
Yeah, I've used this character a few times.
I have not. I mean, I might have seen the character in, which one was it? Like Trigger Words or something?
Well, whenever you're ready, I'll play it.
Okay, I'm ready. I got it up and ready.
All right, so I'll do the countdown here. So this is called Liberal Double Standards featuring Liberal Person. All right, let's do it. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hey Broccoli Person, I hate you so much. You are the something Ducker of the year.
Hey, that's great. You can hate whomever you like.
You are not loving and liberal like me. You are just a dumb proof negative listener. You do not wear scabs on your face. That means everyone knows you are just a dumb Republican and not loving and liberal. You need to put a bloody scam on that face.
Didn't you see all of the hundreds of studies that show that scam wearing seriously harmed your health? Especially with children. Many kids now have speech problems from wearing scams and their parents scam wearing too.
That does not affect me. I don't have any children. I also am vegan. I am a trans. And I also always vote Democrat because I am loving and liberal.
Wearing scams affects everyone.
It does not affect me because I vote Democrat. You do not do drag queen story time, so of course you are not considered human. Why do you not want us to diddle children? Even the United Nations says it is time to allow children of all ages to enjoy sexual relations. Why do you want to take rights away?
Children are not old enough to decide for themselves for what is right. No society in history has had X-rated be allowed and they stayed as a superpower. God dishes out punishment very harshly when you corrupt the children. Plus, I will arrest you for doing so.
You do not have the right to stop any kids from doing whatever they want with their bodies. If they want to whack their weenies off, they need to have the right to do so. It is loving and liberal. As long as an adult gives consent, it should be acceptable.
Haven't you heard of no means no?
No means no is only for trans rights. You are not allowed to tell us what restroom to use. You also are not allowed to tell us to put our junks back in our pants. It is our right to be naked in front of children.
That sounds like a huge no-pathon. So help me, if you have children touching your junks, you are going behind bars for many years.
That is if you something ducker. I am going to tell the media how racist and genderist you are. You should be arrested for not letting trans women compete in women's sports.
It is not fair for women who were born women to have to compete with those who were born as dudes. They have different chromosomes and different muscle sets.
You are a dumb biznitch who is too cisgendered to know the facts. If genderist people like Riley Gaines do not want to compete against trans women like Leah Thomas, they should start their own league.
They already have one. It is called women's sports.
Why are you Trump supporters so obsessed with having junks? You are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for not wanting to whack off your weenies or have your ovaries removed. I am extremely smart. I believe everyone hauled of their genders removed from their person when they are born. No ifs and or buts.
But that means that humanity will be extinct without new population being born.
If there is no more population, that does not affect me. I was already born, you ignorant piece of ish.
Without men and women, there will no more humanity. You need both genders to keep procreating and to make sure the earth still has population.
You something ducker. That is so genderist. There are billions of genders now. And you want to say there bees is only two. By the way, you need to get it straight in your brainless skull that two men can have a baby if they want. A man can get a woman pregnant, and you are just an angry person for not allowing trans women in women's sports. Even Michael Robinson Obama agrees that Leah Thomas is a great trans swimmer. And Michael Robinson Obama is such a nice lady. When you do not allow us to get freaky with the children and go into any restroom we choose, we will shoot you down. You adults need to be eradicated and wiped off the face of the earth. You are way too violent.
Please explain how you are calling us violent for not wanting you to corrupt our children and to not mess with their genders. But if we say no, you want to shoot everyone and burn their houses down. Isn't Antifa the most violent organization in the United States?
You are something ducker and a liar. Even CNN says Antifa does not exist. And they said that Antifa is a peaceful organization. The worstest violent people in America is you fools who believe in prayer. We need to put you people in a FEMA camp for wanting to have a religion. Even though FEMA camps do not exist.
Why are you wanting to do away with people for having a religion of their choice?
If you have a religion, that does not affect me. I am an atheist.
Maybe you need a religion so you can know what is wrong.
You people that have a religion are always so angry. You conservatives are never happy. You something duck hairs have too many kids and too many guns. We need to use our Second Amendment to shoot you fools because you are way too violent and if you do not agree with us, you racist white people are killing black people in droves.
Why is it you do not know the worst killings are in big cities in Chicago? And they are black on black crime.
See? I knew it. You have to bring race into everything. That is why you are too racist and need to be put in that FEMA camp. Even though they do not exist, you are also a speciesist for believing that the earth should still have humans on it. All the globalists are smart when they say the earth needs to get rid of humans.
Doesn't that mean they are coming for you also?
If they want to kill humans, that does not affect me. I have allies and a gut freedom microchip. We also need to kill all animals, plants, and even chop down all the trees and bury them in the ground. We need to save the planet. I am glad they are starting to ban rice. Rice uses water. We are also finna ban cows and make them extinct.
Without rice, over half the planet will starve. More billions will starve without meat products. How do you think people are supposed to feed themselves without meat, rice, or vegetables?
If the whole world starves, that does not affect me. I said I am a trans and a vegan. Why are you not proud of me?
Just because you choose to eat junk food and drink soda, does not make you healthy.
You ignorant dolt. I said I am a trans and a vegan. So I am healthier than you. And I also show my junks to the kids for drag queen story time. So my social credit score will not be affected. I even put a Brandon and Kamala bumper sticker on my iPhone so everyone knows I am loving and liberal.
Hey everyone. We need to stop letting these liberals run society. If we do not stop them, we will all be turned into a pile of rubble and humanity will die.
You need to shut your soup hole right now, you loser. If you do not allow us liberals to run your lives, then we will be stuck still having humans, plants, and trees on Earth.
That is exactly my point. We all need to learn how to say no and quit giving in to liberalism or our society will be completely dead. Please, check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and keeps everyone up to date on all the latest news to help fight against the new world order. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Also check the schedule for the other shows on freedomizerradio.com.
I would never ever check out the Proof Negative radio show. I am too loving and liberal. He does not believe in the communist agenda. That makes him a fascist and a communist. You all need to listen to our communist agenda or else we will call all of you fascists and communists. You all need to learn that you will all be Z-eating Z-bugs and owning Z-nothing by the year 2030 or else. We need to get rid of humanity to of humanity.
All right, so that was the weekly episode.
There were several topics in that particular episode, and it just keeps bringing me back to that man who made, I'm pretty sure that's probably what you based this particular part on, but the man who was like, I'm going to protect my sisters and shoot you, basically, just for telling us not to use the bathroom, but you go ahead and protect your children.
Yeah.
Like that, they're threatening children. Why did he have to add that? Unless he really is trying to be a predator towards our children.
That's a good question. Me not being a trans and not being a sexual predator, I wouldn't know the answer to that.
Yeah. But no. How I feel on that topic will just continue to grow, I feel, and it's going to get, I'm going to get more angry on that topic. I already see this happening.
See, I just can't see the trans thing as being a permanent thing.
No, eventually they're going to all die out, and unless they continuously indoctrinate people into their little club, they're not going to have them anymore because they can't believe.
That's a hard sell to try and get people to do their weenie whacking so they can depopulate.
Because
they know the
again,
adults won't do it, which is why they're pushing it on the kids.
Yep. Again, as that one doctor said that I was mentioning, the children are not, even at 14, they are not mature enough to actually even talk about the reproductive side of that conversation. So they shouldn't be getting brainwashed.
Kayla, that if your 9-year-old son said, I don't want my legs anymore, can you take me to the doctor and whack off my legs? Nobody would listen to that seriously, and they would have that kid taken in for a mental evaluation. If the kid said I want my elbows whacked off, that once again they would say the kid is crazy. but it's okay to whack off your stuff.
Oh, not right to whack off anything. That may be your hair. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you are right. If they were to be like, hey, I want to go and, I don't know, cut off my foot because I want to be like veterans and I want to be a trans disabled.
Which is a thing.
What? I know. I saw a video about that, and I was like, why? I think all of this, not dates back, I think all of this goes back and can be tracked back to probably people being abused, so now they have mental issues, and maybe things will be better if I do this. Because I don't know how to explain it otherwise. Do they want attention? I 100% believe that's why Mulvaney does it.
Well, I don't know if you saw this too, but I put this in that cartoon. But there are people that are calling each other specious because you believe that humans have the right to live on the planet.
Oh, God. What? No, I haven't seen that. The planet we're born on, we don't have a right to live on?
Yes. Elon Musk said he had a discussion with, I want to say it was Noah Harari. And Noah Harari was talking about how we need to kill humans. And Elon Musk said he was against that. And he was called a speciesist. And Elon Musk said, yeah, I'm busted. I believe in humans living on Earth. You got me.
Why would someone advocate for straight-up genocide?
Because they're Satanist?
That's true. I have heard that from, like, whistleblowers and stuff who talk about knowing higher-up-level people, that they believe if they mess up our world and the population so bad, it'll force the rapture and the all that bullcrap. Just like, wait, you want to make it terrible to try and force something? You can't. It doesn't matter where you sit on it, but the Bible even says, like, no man can know when this is going to happen, so why do you think you're going to make it happen?
No, but that's what they want. See, if people just hated humans, they would just ask to eradicate just humans. But they want to go after animals. They want to go after plants. They want to go after trees. Who in their right mind will say, in order to save Earth, we need to chop down every single tree and bury them?
Not to be funny about it, the only thing I could see on that end would be an actual alien species who's trying to terraform our planet.
Yes.
The only thing I could possibly think of.
There's no way in the world that someone that just hates humans will go that far and say that we need every tree in the world gone. We need every plant, every weed, every bush, that they need to be gone.
But then at the end of the day, unless they are said alien species, that will kill them too. So why
would
they advocate?
Yeah, but they're going to live forever, so they have their underground bunkers and their storable foods, and they're okay with being out of the limelight for a while because they're going to live forever.
On the blood of children, at that. Sorry, I don't know where you are on the adrenochrome topic, if that's a one you talk about or not.
Well, if you want to talk about it, I know about it. But the thing is that they have a lot of inventions that they have come up with, but in order to preserve their lives and make them basically be immortal, but they can't bring that out until they reduce the population.
No, and that's why you have, who was it, General Flynn, I believe, at the Health Coalition back in 2021, actually talking about with, was it General Flynn or, oh, I can't remember his name. What they talked about at the Health Coalition with Jim Caviezel were the underground dumps and how children are being tortured, how they're being raped, they're being bred without a birth certificate so they can be trafficked and they could be used for anything from human genetic experiments to slavery to sex trade to organ trade. And Mr. Caviezel brought up Tim Ballard, who I highly recommend people look into him. He actually, Caviezel, it was The Sound of Freedom, I think the name of the movie was.
Okay.
I still haven't got to watch it because I haven't been able to find anywhere with it, and I'm pretty sure it came out. See if I've seen people mention it. But, he mentions Tim Ballard, who he's going to play in this role, and he used to be a Homeland Security-like person. He ended up going over to Haiti, I forget why, and he made friends with a priest there. The priest's son went missing, so Jim and Tim, I always get them mixed up, but Tim ended up going to help the priest try and find his son. They ended up finding a lot of children that were going to be sold. He actually ended up adopting two of the children because when he first went in there, there was a little boy and a little girl, and he was given the little boy by the person running the facility. And while he's walking around, the little girl won't stop watching him. He found out they were brother and sister, and these kids have been drugged, they have been raped, and this little girl has seen them be murdered. And he ended up adopting both of them because of how heartbreaking the situation was, and I guess how could you not? But he has, ever since then, they never found the priest's son to this day, to my knowledge. I have never heard of his son being recovered. They don't know where he could be. But he continues to fight against human trafficking, especially child trafficking. And they talk about the dumps, which are deep underground military bases where they are doing said medical experiments and producing adrenochrome, which Jim Caviezel himself even talked about, which is something he said he was told by Tim Ballard. And, I mean, it's not like it's a fake thing. You can actually even go onto Google and look up adrenochrome, and it will tell you flat out it is the world's pretty much most addictive drug that there is. They don't tell it. All they say is that it is oxidized adrenaline. And the only way you can really get that is from children from infancy to about 9 years old. Once they hit nine, they start becoming more, that they have different, again, the Tanner 2 thing, I think those maybe actually might play a role in it. But they start maturing, so they have less adrenaline or pumping through them. But the way they do it is by terrifying these children. They do everything they can there was a, what was his name? Uma Abedin's husband. His own laptop, you had to go on the dark web at the time to pretty much find anything related to it. But there's a legit video out there of Hillary Clinton and Miss Abedin cutting the face off of a child to get to the adrenaline blood. And I don't understand. People want to be like, oh, well, that's whatever. They're all blasé about it. They don't care. And it's like, how do you not care? It doesn't affect their life, so they don't. How do you not at least talk about it at least then? Well, it doesn't affect their life, so they don't care. And it's the same response to every single question you could ask on this topic, and I just keep asking, like, how? How do you not have the humanity to care about the weakest among us, which are children? Sorry, I knew that went to a darker topic.
No, that's okay.
But this stuff is happening. And again, I highly recommend any of our listeners to go and look up Penn Ballard. He himself actually has, it's like a little mini documentary on what he did with the human trafficking over in Haiti, helping them try to find the priest's son. But they don't go super far into it. But I still recommend highly looking into it, so that way you at least know this is happening. You can 100% show yourself, okay, these people are actually, they're talking about real life events. These are happening. This is literally an affront to God, goddess, whatever you believe. It is an affront to them. It is destroying what we know as humanity, at least in my eyes. You keep hurting the youngest and most innocent among your people. Why should you be able to enter the kingdom of heaven or Valhalla, whatever you believe? Why should you have
they don't believe in that, so therefore they want to live forever so they don't ever have to see it.
They can't face their own judgment.
Right. That's what it is.
Huh?
I said that's what it is.
Oh, okay, you were garbled, so I didn't hear. I heard half. I don't know. At the end of the day, for me personally, I talk to people about these topics, and they look at me like I have four heads. And I just don't understand it. There are people out there who don't believe that human trafficking is as bad as it is. They truly believe it was worse a long time ago, and that it's much better today. But it's been, it made so much easier because of the internet. Nobody even talked about it. But no, it's not real. It doesn't exist. That can't exist in our modern day time, right? Which I say, no, it 100% does. We have Homeland Security people fighting it, talking about it. You have soldiers who find children in these villages that they go into who are being used in every way imaginable. And at the end of the day, the Taiwan ladyboy, what do people think they are? You think they choose to do that? We treat them good. We treat them nice until they age out. At that point, you just have a broken person that probably has no understanding in life or trust for people.
Yeah, but they're proud of themselves because they're the ones that broke those people down.
Yeah. I don't understand why it feels like evil, just like straight up evil, is so prevalent. How was it allowed? Why do we allow this to continue? We know it's happening. And the majority
because the
people
we would go to that can do something about it are standing in front and not letting it proceed further. So we can't go after them, basically. They're untouchable.
Which is very sad to say. I know, what was it? 5 or 6 months ago, it was one of the Facebook executives was actually caught trying to meet up with like a 14-year-old. But he was,
I remember.
Basically catfish. Oh, my dog is barking.
Did I get put on hold?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to think of what I was going to say. Oh, so the executive, he was caught. And that story was hushed up almost within, like, 2 days of it happening. Neither, no one was talking about it. And I was like, wait, why? It's the same thing with the Disney people. The majority of sex offenders in Florida, at the very least, keep coming from Disney. Then you also have slightly weird one, but Britney Spears. Do you think she has been so badly damaged through what she's been through that they've kind of taken, gonna sound so loony, do you think that she's been like MK Ultra?
Well, she was controlled for a long time, so maybe that's why she's not interested in doing anything publicly anymore.
Maybe. I saw one of her posts not sometime within the last year, a little bit before she was freed of that. It's not a guardianship. What is it called? Where the parents have control over
conservatorship.
It's conservatorship. Thank you. So a little bit before that happened, she was releasing videos, and in one of them she said they would take us to Disneyland if you got the – there'd be all kinds of children downstairs in this basement she talked about. And if the – little child was given a yellow dress, she knew she was going to be going to Disneyland, and those little girls would then be passed off to whoever they need at Disney, because that is where they would go to make this exchange. There are so many people, they don't even realize that this child is being passed from one man to another. So they could think, oh, maybe they're gay and that's their child or something, because the kid just goes to them. That's what they're trained to do. This topic is so, I don't know, pivotal to our society, I feel. Not so much on the Britney Spears part, but more so on everything related around it. From human trafficking, mind control. And while, yeah, it sounds crazy, you literally have Roseanne Barr talking about it. You can go and look in actual government records where I believe, like, MK Ultra, supposedly they ended that in the 90s. I don't believe they did. In fact, now today we have people dealing with technology talking about within the next few years, people will be able to just read your mind with these new technologies we're making. Then you have the video of Bill Gates talking to, I don't know who the people in the room were, but in the conversation where he's talking to these people, he flat out says if we can, using like vaccines, we can inject something into somebody that'll go to their core, like say it's a Muslim extremist. This is what Bill Gates said. Those Muslim extremists, we can go in, inject him with something, and just take his faith and religion out of him. So he'll no longer be an extremist. Since I saw that, I've personally been weary of any and all medications, especially if Bill Gates supports it. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that particular topic?
I feel like I've gone over it so many times that I really, we all know it's bad, and I just don't study it anymore.
Okay. I mean, understandable. You have been on air for 15 years, so that's completely understandable. You've probably covered it.
Yeah.
I don't know. When you talk about this to other people that haven't done a lick of research, they claim they have. They claim that they do, but they haven't. And you know they haven't because they don't talk about it. They don't talk about anything. They immediately shut you down. You're wrong. That's not reality. That sounds like a movie. Which, FYI, the reason why we have movies that talk about all of these things is because it's what they're doing. And if it's in a movie, then it's unrealistic. And if it's unrealistic and not aligned with reality, you're not going to believe in it. But that's on any topic that goes against any part of the grain of society. What is it? You like to say it's liberal.
Yeah.
Which I genuinely
do not. That's my favorite thing Alex Jones says when he goes after, like, well, Tim Cook has slave camps in China all over the place, but it's okay. He's gay.
Right.
It's liberal.
I can genuinely say the most infuriating conversations I've had have been with the closed-minded liberal section. Not to say that I haven't met any conservatives that are closed-minded on those topics too, because I have. Because again, they don't research it. It's not part of their life. It doesn't affect them personally that they know of. So
why do you think liberal person says, if that happens, that does not affect me?
Because it
just
doesn't
like,
affect
him. Just like when Broccoli Man said that you realize that Earth's population will not, they will become extinct. Oh, that does not affect me. I was already born. That's how they think of things. If the price of gas goes up, that does not affect me. I take the bus.
I haven't heard that argument yet, but yeah, I could see that being an argument.
There's people that say, well, if property taxes go up 12%, that does not affect me. I rent an apartment.
That's still a property that has to have taxes paid on it, so your rent's going to go up.
Yeah, but they don't see that because it's liberal.
That actually reminds me of something I saw kind of in passing. I haven't fully looked into it. I did share the article because I want to read it later onto my Telegram. But it was mentioning how they want to increase property taxes, just like with the phone bill, how they pay with
yes.
You pay more if you make more. Well, now they want to increase property taxes so that way it's easier on people who can't afford bigger property or for those who default.
Oh, there's a new thing in May that's going to start. If you have a high credit score, you're going to get a tax now because you can afford it, and the people with lower credit, you're going to help them out.
Well,
because low credit people default too much, so now they got to get the people with the high credits. Now you have to not pay things sometimes just so your credit score doesn't go too high.
I can happily say I have avoided having any credit, so that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But at the same time, I know people who have really high credit. I know people who have horrible credit. So basically, they're just trying to punish anyone who's doing any amount of good in every way possible.
Yes. Klaus Schwab said recently that he's having a hard time getting Agenda 2030 going.
Oh, where did he say that? He actually admitted
it? Alex Jones quoted it today, so
I'll go and check that out.
Yeah, he was saying how he's upset that humanity's not interested in what he has to say.
I mean, if you're telling somebody you will own nothing, you will eat crickets, and you will be happy about it, would you listen to that person?
Well, I don't think Klaus Schwab is going to own the nothing and eat the bugs.
No, he has all kinds of organic food in the bunkers.
Yeah, Bill Gates is not going to eat the bugs and owns the nothing.
No, he will be one of those people who is like, oh, you own nothing, you eat the bugs. Well, now you're going to be my servant if you want to eat something real. Or you're going to take this jab.
Or that FEMA camp that does not exist.
Yeah, that camp totally does not exist. Totally. That's why we have legislation about
it. See, there's one of our local camps here is on a street called El Campo Grande. And I wish I was kidding.
Oh, God.
But it doesn't exist, but they named the street for it. So I want to show you another liberal person. This is another character I haven't used in a while. This is super ultra mega extreme MAGA man. Sue Man.
Oh crap! Hang on.
Because even Brandon had talked about these MAGA extremists. And nobody's done more for freedom than Brandon. Yeah, that's what he said in his 3 o'clock in the morning speech last night.
He is not pro-freedom. Okay, I got it up.
All right, let's do it. So, Sue Mam and liberal person. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hey broccoli person, I hate you so much. You are such an angry, mean-spirited person who gets involved in everyone's business. I am hoping so much you are taken to a FEMA camp for disinformation.
Hey, that's great. Keep eating your hateros for breakfast. I came in here to buy gas. I do not remember asking you your opinions about the gas I put in my car.
I don't care if gas is $100 a gallon. It does not affect me. I take public transportation.
Really? How do you think high gas prices do not affect you? Have you not noticed the prices of everything in this store have tripled in the last 6 months?
Matt is racist. I am a vegan. All the meat prices do not affect me because I do not eat meat or dairy.
Is you serious right now? Gas is up over 400% in just the last 6 months. You don't think the trucks hauling the vegetables to the stores have to pay extra?
Why are you siding with Broccoli Person? Aren't you black? You are a race traitor for disrespecting Brandon. I hate you racists so much. I am so loving and liberal.
You for real right now? You a white liberal telling a black man he is racist against black people for telling you why your food prices is high?
I am not just a liberal. I am a non-binary trans vegan liberal that supports the current thing.
Look, I am not playing with you today. You liberals think my ID don't work because I'm not a raging communist like you. I hate wasting my time trying to argue and educate you fools.
You have an ID? But you are black.
What am I hearing right now? You don't think I can get identification because my skin color is darker than yours?
Well, there is no way you can be black. You did not vote for Brandon, so you ain't black. You are probably one of the management for the KKK party. You are a something ducker.
Ain't that something? A white liberal telling me, a black man, that I'm in the Klan. Do you think the Klan now is a diversity program?
You are not a man. Gender is illegal.
You don't know how bad I want to cut you. Not right now. I will show you who is a man. But I am on clock right now.
That's probably because they want you to testify about January 6th.
Look, you fool. I did not go to the Capitol. I was not in D.C. at the time. I was actually in SoCal working on arresting some Antifa thugs who were destroying buildings.
You are a liar. Antifa does not exist. Those were mostly peaceful protests. Even CNN said so. Any violence was by accident and was all Trump's fault. Besides, Black Lives Matter. If you do not support Black Lives Matter, then you ain't black. You are way too racist for me. People that hate black people need to be re-educated.
Do you even hear yourself right now? You is cray-cray.
It is people like you who support the January 6 prisoners is why inflation is so high right now. You and Broccoli Person think those terrorists should get a fair trial. You all support protesting.
You does. You don't think people should be allowed to ask for a recount on a vote, which is totally 100% legal. But you are okay with what went on in Seattle, Portland, and all the other major cities.
Don't forget the black-on-black crime like in Chicago. You guys is also cool with standing in front of Supreme Court justices' houses with guns and denounce you are going to assassinate people for not voting for abortion.
That is different. Those are liberal causes. It is okay to threaten violence only if it helps liberals. Anyone who does not support communism needs to be killed so we can have communism and a population in this country. That is what Klaus Schwab, George Soros, and Bill Gates pay for. You dumb capitalist fools only think about yourselves. I am loving and liberal. If you were loving and liberal, you would support communism and Black Lives Matter. Michael Robinson Obama is a very nice lady.
So you're saying you support the 1% of the 1% that want to give the earth over to Satan with nothing living on it?
Hey Sumum. Let's get out of here. We have to go pump gas and get back to work. One thing I have learned over the past couple years. Never ever argue with a communist liberal. They talk completely out of there, and they will just stand there disrespecting you until you leave. They refuse to have a conversation.
They don't even think right, bro. It's like they do not see their property taxes went up 10% with bad economic policies, and they want to blame everyone but the party.
If you property taxes go up like that, that is your fault. That does not affect me. I rent an apartment.
For real? Your rent won't go up?
If it does go up, it is because of people like you. You supported Trump and you did not get vaccinated against COVID. You also eat meat and are not gay. Plus you hate black people.
Please. Stop arguing with liberals. We have to learn how to cancel them and take back our country before we end up turning too far communist. Listen to the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. He shares the latest in news against the globalists and promotes freedom. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and you can even call in to talk to him. Go to freedomizerradio.com and press listen live. There are even other shows during the other time, so check the schedule. That is freedomizerradio.com.
I do not respect anyone that has a hole or a hole puncher. I am a non-binary trans vegan that supports drag queen story time. If you do not take your 5-year-old to a drag queen bar and let them dance naked in front of other gay and trans people, then we do not listen to a thing you say. We are so loving and liberal. You people that say you support freedom do not allow 5-year-olds to drink alcohol and let people smash dollar bills in their butts. Now if you don't mind, it is legal to pee now in public. You don't have to water me anymore. I am going to pop a squat right here. Oh yeah, I almost forgot. You need more of these.
Wow.
All right, so that was another episode.
And it hits on a lot of the really important topics. And I love how you so capture the actual mind of these people who refuse to have a conversation about anything real, or they just go back to, well, this is what the news said. This is what CNN said. Or it is like their normal default.
Yeah, like she just told a black person that he's racist against black people.
I've actually seen that in some videos that I've watched. I've seen people say that.
Yeah.
So there's the, oh, what was it? When Obama was in office, I was out with some friends, and at the time I was more on the liberal side. And I saw this black man, we were all at a picnic together, and he was talking to some other people, and I heard him say he's a black conservative. And I, in my mind, I was like, I've never heard of that before. I didn't think black people were conservative. But I was listening to him, and he's like, I did not vote for Obama. Why would I do that? And then someone else is like, so you hate your own kind? And it's like, what? But I loved being able to hear the difference, because at that time, as I said, I didn't know. I genuinely didn't, because the way everything I've ever at that time saw was always black people hate Republicans. It's the Democrat Party that fights for them. They don't anymore.
No. But Martin Luther King was a Republican.
Did not know that.
Yeah, the Democrats were the ones that were the KKKs and were upset that blacks wanted rights in the 1960s.
Yeah,
or the
1940s,
I do know. I should say.
Try talking to someone today about, like, someone that's went to the school system in the last 36 years. And I guarantee you a good portion of them will just sit there and say, that's not true, that's not right, like that's not something we were ever mentioned. Like, I feel like our school systems do not teach actual history anymore, just in straight up.
Well, no, because they feel like they can rewrite history, just like they're rewriting all the books now.
Yeah, a little bit after I got out of school, I noticed they were taking Thomas Jefferson out of it. I didn't know why at the time, But I learned more so now, he was against central banking. Even back then, you know, it's like something they don't teach you. They teach you that the banks are like this one sacred institution.
Yeah, they're so loving and liberal.
Right? And then they go into, they don't even cover the full fact that Lincoln was trying to bring about a new currency when he was assassinated. They just say, oh, he was assassinated by this actor.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all they teach you. And it's like, wait, he was actually trying to bring about a new currency. And I've heard, I haven't researched this particular point, but supposedly JFK was also outside of just trying to get rid of the CIA and the FBI. He said he would splinter them, talking about the undercover, like, dark secret society ruling our country and the military complex becoming industrialized and kind of their own thing. They don't talk about the fact that he too was also talking about currency for a little bit. So, I don't know. There's just so much that you have to learn yourself or else you will be ignorant. And that's not a word that's bad. It just means you don't know. But they make it more, oh, it's such an offensive thing. How could you say that? But it's true. And I guess we've become so PC about everything that we don't want to offend anybody anymore. And not in a, if someone's racist and they want to offend somebody way, but, you know, you're wrong on this topic and you kind of need some reality smacked into you kind of way. Verbally, of course. But the denial of reality in our current culture is astonishing. I don't think this is something I saw ever happening in our lifetime. I don't think anyone's seen this society popping up the way that it is.
Well, and then we're at the point where a lot of stuff they want to do is a year and a half to 2 years away, and then they can get total control. And they might not even care. They could do it with Brandon if they want, because we know that Brandon doesn't run anything.
No. I mean, he's made slip-ups to calling even Kamala president at some point. I think twice now he made that slip-up. So is that him, like, Freudian slip of she's actually running everything and I'm just kind of here? Oh, but when you were talking about Klaus Schwab on Alex Jones, how he said he's having trouble actually getting everything up and running for their agenda.
Well, he says there's too many people that don't want Agenda 2030, and he's having a hard time making it happen.
Now, do you think it's because too many people are starting to become aware of the situation?
That's a possibility.
Because I know you also have infighting even among the higher-ups. Maybe some of them don't feel like they're ready for it yet with the way everything's going. I just know with Klaus Schwab himself, he has no right to talk to anybody on any topic. He should not have the money that he has. I don't know why he's not in prison, but I know it's because of the money. Or more so connections and the influence of the people around him. But Agenda 30, I mean, they're really trying to move along on making us eat bugs. They're trying their damnedest to bring down our financial system, which obviously that's about to collapse. I actually saw an article where supposedly they want to try and bring Russia back into the SWIFT system now that everything is going so horribly. Which I found funny, because personally, if I were in any amount of control over a country, if I could have a gold-backed system or go back to a system based on nothing, I'm going to go to my own currency. I'm going to go to gold. I'm not going to go to fiat. Which you try to tell some people fiat means basically based on nothing, and they'll be like, that's not what that means. I'm like, well, then you tell me what our currency is based off of, because I can tell you right now, our currency used to be gold. Then it went to petrol, and then it went to nothing. It's debt. It's all debt-based now. Excuse me, I need to take a drink of water. My throat is like... My throat was screaming at me. Sorry. But as I was saying, the debt-based system, I don't know why people accepted that in the first place. I wasn't here in the 50s and 60s and 70s, so I have no idea why people just bent over and allowed all of this to happen.
Well, because it's easier to just shut up than it is to say no. That's why.
Not wrong
on
that either.
That way.
Do what?
I said it will always be that way.
I want to disagree with you on that point, because I still have a hope that humanity will not stay this messed up. But as of right now, I don't think I can disagree with you, because it is that way. But the way that we do start change in society is starting the conversation, and that's what we're doing. Maybe the conversation isn't enough after a certain point, which I could see, but how else are you supposed to get through to people? Like, this is actually happening. This is real. This is not some dramatized sci-fi movie. This is every day. This is happening every day. People, children, everywhere on this planet are suffering because we're doing nothing. And we're okay with it because it doesn't affect us personally. I don't want to pick up the term because it's liberal, but I mean, it fits.
Mm-hmm.
I guess on my side of things, I would love to actually be able to sit in an actual congressional hearing and be able to voice my opinion. Why can't we, the people, actually voice our opinion to the people who rule us? We can call in, sure. Are they actually getting it? I don't know. It depends on if their staffer agreed with what you said, maybe. Are they even going to care?
Hmm.
And I don't want to say, like, oh, go storm anything. No. But I do believe we should be able to talk to these people in these higher positions, because at the end of the day, when America was founded, it was supposed to be, even if you're a farmer, you can still donate a couple years of your life for your country. Even if you are a dropout, you should be able to fight for your country. But people, I don't know, I guess the biggest thing in school that we were taught that might confuse that subject is well, you have to go to school and have this degree and that degree, and you have to go and be this for so long, a lawyer to a judge in order to even approach this. And so that's not how we started out. That's not how we're supposed to be. And I feel like we forgot that at the end of the day. I mean, I could be wrong. I am human, but that's just what my heart tells me. Crap. Getting on the tired side.
Yeah, I know. I've been tired all night myself.
Well, hopefully you can get some rest later and start feeling better.
Oh, I'm not feeling sick. I'm just tired.
Busy day?
No, I wouldn't say busy day.
Hmm.
So, let's see, where was I? There was a couple of things I wanted to play. So going back to Robert F. Kennedy, I wanted to play this from the Hill from earlier today.
Okay.
And then I have a Russell Brand clip I might be able to sneak in as well.
Yeah, Russell Brand, I used to be iffy on him, but now I've...
Oh, sorry, started playing.
Hours after officially announcing his campaign for the presidency, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. went on Fox News' Tucker Carlson tonight and elaborated on what he considers to be America's most pressing issues. Let's listen.
I think that the general theme of my speech was this corrupt merger of state and corporate power, which is turning our country into a corporate kleptocracy, into a system of socialism for the rich and this kind of a cushy socialism for the rich and this kind of brutal, merciless capitalism for the poor.
Kennedy did not hold back on his sentiments about the nation's involvement in the Ukraine war either. Let's take a listen.
Americans care about the underdog. They care about that kind of suffering. But the question is, why are we in the Ukraine? Because Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, said that we're there to exhaust the Russians. President Biden has said that we're there to deplatform, to depose Vladimir Putin. And if that's why we're there, and we're killing a lot of Ukrainians as pawns in a proxy war between two great powers. Here's one last thing I would say. Nobody talks about this. There's 14,000 Ukrainian civilians who have died, but 300,000 troops. Russians are killing Ukrainians at a 7-to-1 to 8-to-1 ratio. They cannot sustain this. What we're being told about this war is just not true.
Powerful messaging, I gotta say. He's been on a roll. His speech really hit the nail on the head of the corporate corruption that I think really motivated a lot of both Bernie voters and Trump voters. He seems to recognize that this is the through line for so many disaffected voters. He says, I give me a sword, I need an army, and it can't just be the party. I need Democrats, Republicans, and independents. I won't pretend to agree with you on every position, but it would make America a safe place to debate your positions, and I will give you an ear and an open mind.
You know, he's polling at, what was it, 14% in the Democratic, among Democratic primary voters, which is pretty good, actually. It's sizable compared to the attention that, for instance, Nikki Haley is getting, despite not having much support at all. She's getting a lot of media attention. He's getting almost none. In fact, I think Fox News was the only media outlet covering RFK Jr. Obviously, he made an announcement, and then he was on Tucker Carlson's show. He wasn't anywhere else. In fact, the rest of the media, the mainstream media, to the extent they want to talk about him at all, it is to warn you not to talk about him. Let's play this clip from Aaron Burnett.
Biden railing against vaccines, too. Even members of his own family are refusing to support him. Jeff Zeleny is out front.
It was a political rally steeped in Kennedy family history, with one critical missing piece, most of the storied Kennedy family, Today in Boston, as he announced a long-shot presidential bid,
I am going to take back this country with your help.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. evoked images of his father and uncle as he bluntly acknowledged his siblings wish he wouldn't be launching a campaign to challenge President Biden.
There are other members of my family who are not here today.
With a famous political name, he plunged into the fringe of today's politics, railing against the safety of vaccines and what he calls corrupt corporate power in America.
I thought it was funny they say, like, oh, yeah, his own family's not supporting him. Where were the other Kennedys? And at that moment, they're showing a picture of John F. Kennedy, who is dead. Like, he's not there because he's not alive.
Yeah, well, look, it has been the case that his siblings have co-signed this letter years ago, distancing themselves from some of his feelings about vaccine skepticism. But it is really interesting in that clip, they go on to interview some people who attended the rally, and they ask him the question, what do you think about the fact that his family doesn't even want to be here? The family doesn't even want to support him. They're really going with that line of attack and the vaccine attack.
It's a dumb line of attack.
And it's really
the family attack.
Nobody cares that his family's not there. As you pointed out, the kind of relevant political Kennedys are no longer with us. And it feels like a weird, like, tattletale sort of a line. You expect people to prioritize an interpersonal family dispute over other things. One person interviewed later in that Erin Burnett clip was asked about the vaccine issues, and she said, well, honestly, there's a whole panoply of things that I'm voting on, and I don't have to agree with him on that to want to support him for other reasons. And I think mainstream Democrats who think that that particular line is going to land are really underestimating, one, how much these other issues like the war in Ukraine, domestic policy issues, environmental issues, and the like are motivating voters more, and also the fact that a lot of Americans are, in fact, mad at Donald Trump and Joe Biden for their COVID policies. And RFK Jr. seems to be one of the only politicians who has successfully leveraged a criticism of Donald Trump and the Biden administration both over the vaccine policies.
You shared this tweet from Dan Rather.
Mm-hmm.
The press should be careful about covering Robert Kennedy Jr.'s quixotic run for president so as not to amplify his dangerous conspiracy theories about vaccines. That is the approach that I expect the mainstream media to take with him. Actually, if he starts doing better, if he's getting even better poll numbers, they will descend on him with the most gatekeeping kind of, all the reporting will be about how dangerous it is for you to consume news and information reporting about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
It will be, and of course Dan Rather would never say, you know, it is dangerous and unsafe to cover, you know, President Biden's speech about why we should fund the Ukrainian army for the rest of all time until no one is left alive. You would never say that. Dangerous.
Joe Biden has his fingerprints on some of the most destructive policies that have ever come down the pike in American political life, from the crime bill to NAFTA. And it's ridiculous to be using this sort of framing.
Including incorrect things he incidentally said about COVID and vaccines.
Of course. And look, I don't want to downplay either the negative consequences of certain kinds of vaccine hesitancy in California, where RFK Jr., I believe, lives in that kind of, like, he's married, obviously, to a Hollywood actress. Like, in that kind of those social circles, vaccine skepticism is very popular and has led to these outbreaks of horrible diseases like meningitis among children in school populations there, and volumes like we haven't seen since before we had vaccines. And kids are really hurt by this, and they die, and that's an important thing. But when you look at all of the issues that are facing Americans, and you put on one side Ukraine, you put on one side environment and the betrayals of the Biden administration with the ConocoPhillips drilling in Alaska, you put all of the existential issues that are affecting the American public, crony capitalism. Did you hear about, by the way, how in the Erin Burnett segment they said what he calls corporate capitalism, what he calls crony capitalism, as if there's some subjectivity about the corruption of government? And put on the other side, the guy thinks that vaccines cause autism. Like, this is serious. I'm not saying that there aren't serious implications of vaccine hesitancy, but I don't know on what planet you have to live to think that voters are going to take one single issue and that's going to cause them to ignore everything that they know and care about. When you have Joe Biden, he was literally accused of a number of instances of sexual misconduct. And the Democratic Party trotted out every woman from Kirsten Gillibrand to Stacey Abrams to say, nothing to see here, folks. If they were willing to ignore and not investigate, I don't know what happened. Nobody does except for the people involved. Mm-hmm. But to shut down the Tyra Reid allegations without an investigation like they did, to expect everyone to fall in line, as Joe Biden was saying, fund the cops more, as literally millions of people were in the street in the largest protest movement ever in Black Lives Matter in 2020, to hear him on a leaked phone call to every black leader in the country saying, you know, sit down, sit aside, it's your turn, I'm not going to do George Floyd justice in policing, it's Latino's turn now, and to expect everyone to fall in line and vote for him regardless. And ignore all that, but you think that, vaccine has...
Especially for Biden, especially on the sexual misconduct stuff, look, if I had been inclined to vote for Biden, I wasn't, so I didn't have this dilemma. If I was inclined to vote for him, would I have decided not to vote for him because of, for instance, the Tara Reid accusation? Probably not. Probably I don't think at the end of the day there was enough definitive proof to change my mind, even though I found her credible. I like her views. She's had her on the show. All due respect to her, everything, not trying to contradict what she said. But it was a long ago incident, and there wasn't enough evidence for I could see why you would not change your mind. But Biden's own standard for adjudicating these things and the general liberal democratic progressive standard is believe there does not need to be proof. You believe it's, because who would ever lie about this? So it should just be taken as an article of faith. That was how so many of these other Me Too incidents have been approached. That is what Biden literally said.
That's what Kamala said when she was running against Biden with the first accusation.
So, live up to your hypocrisies.
Yeah. The Democratic Party taught voters lesser of two evilism. They exist because of lesser of two evilism. They would not be able to sustain without being able to say to voters, at the end of the day, I know this candidate sucks. I know Hillary Clinton sucks. I know Joe Biden sucks. But you can't vote for Trump. You can't let Trump win again. So now they should not be surprised when voters, understanding that candidates aren't perfect, and sometimes you got to choke down some beliefs that you don't like, are more than happy to do so when they look at someone like RFK Jr., whose upsides, in many people's view, are going to be much more significant than his downsides.
Indeed. We'll have more Rising right after this.
All right.
So I know it was from a couple hours ago we were discussing, but I figured maybe you wanted to hear their part of that.
Wow.
See, I know he's a, like we said, I know him on two topics, but I would not vote for him over Trump.
No, in that regard, I would agree, because we do know at least Trump knew how to deal with the economy. We are making more money under him. Everything was cheaper, everything was smooth. To quite. But I do want to point out with what they laughed about the fact that the Kennedys, the political Kennedys, are all dead. Most of them were basically assassinated.
Right.
Or died mysteriously, and they laughed about that? Sorry, I'm a little taken aback by that. But overall, the fact that he mentioned the vaccine stuff, it can cause autism, and laughing that off, too. Like, no, that's an actual serious thing that you're making seem like it's not. Sorry, I know that's not what you wanted to talk about. I needed to get that out.
No, I don't care. The thing is that I don't feel the Democrat voters care.
No. I think they would vote on him if they still believe in the Trump bad, orange man bad syndrome crap that has been spewed on media. They will probably vote for Kennedy just based off of it's not Trump. But outside of that, you still have to even get him through the preliminaries. You have to see if he can even get that nomination, which he should over Biden, but he won't because Biden is quote-unquote president.
I don't know. He could still run. Yeah, at the end of... I would still vote for Trump over him, especially if we don't get to hear any debate. If Biden is set on shutting those down, which should... He's just going to not show up, pretty much, right?
Brandon, yeah, I wouldn't expect much out of him.
Okay, because I was curious the way you mentioned it. My mind went, he's either going to shut them down and, like, there's just no debate, or he's just not going to show up. But I don't know. If it comes to the shutdown of it, 100% dictator, but he's also not debating, which is also dictator.
Yeah, but his brain's not there. So it's like he's a dictator that doesn't know what he's doing.
Holy. Nope, he's just, you know, hey, if I could have someone run for me and I was in their ear and just in the basement, he's puppet for Obama. But no, he never did anything wrong. He was fine. He was great. Ugh. But no, on RFK, I have been listening to him for the last 2 years. Not every conversation, but the majority of all of his conversations over the COVID vaccine, what it's doing, the damages, COVID itself. That would be a big push for me to vote for him. I will be honest on that because he's talking the truth. And a lot of people aren't doing that right now. I mean, as that girl, she was basically laughing at vaccine hesitancy.
Yeah.
And saying, well, we have all these horrible diseases now because people don't want to go and get their kids vaccinated. I want to argue it's opposite. We know there was a, a minute since I've seen this particular video, so it'll probably be hard to find. But there was an actual lawyer, he went into a court, and he was arguing over the fact that the polio vaccine was causing outbreaks of polio. And people didn't want to believe that, and he came out with the research that in the last 30 years at the time, from about 32 now maybe, there has not been a wild case of polio, that every case has been related to a vaccine injury. And they're saying that it's because of not taking these vaccines people are getting it.
Well, yeah, it's everything. Every excuse except for what it really is.
Yes, like they're telling women who have children with autism now, oh, well, if you took Tylenol while you were pregnant, it was Tylenol. Like, I don't believe that. I mean, it might have played a part. It's possible. I don't know. I'm not a scientist in that way. I don't mix chemicals to find out what the options are. So it's very possible maybe Tylenol had a percentage. But when you have so many stories of mothers and fathers coming out about how, oh, for the first couple of months of my kid's life, he or she was so vibrant. They actually looked at you, stared at you, they interacted with you, they wanted to learn as the baby would. And then after their 6 month shot, they change completely. They no longer engage. Their eyes become unfocused. Then you come and find out, oh, well, now there's an autistic trait to this child. And they say, oh, he was born with it. But no, because if he was, he or she, they wouldn't have been able to interact with you the way that they did before. But people don't want to believe that if you put their child in danger by getting them this vaccine that they were told is going to be safe.
But they still, they go and they keep getting them, and the child keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and then people don't want to see it at the end of the day. And the fact that she's on there basically saying, oh, well, no, it's them getting it. That's, I don't know, that baffles me, but I mean, it's not the first time I've heard it. It's just mind-boggling that people don't want to even broach the topic that maybe these shots might be poison. I mean, one of the most famous cases was, what was her name? I think her name was Hannah, and her father was a neurologist, and then actually, or ABC, one of those two actually aired the interview. And her father, a neurologist, when she was about, I think he said 14 months old, they went in and got her one of her shots. I think it was DTaP at the time. And she ended up having super high fever, grand mal seizures, and those two things combined at that time caused her brain to basically deteriorate, especially her cognitive abilities. And that is one of the actual one of the actual cases they've talked about where it was caused by vaccines, that this child is now autistic. But that gets swept under the rug and no one wants to admit that that was ever even a thing. And more, they wanted to attack the father, who even said himself, I'm not advocating against getting a vaccine, just it's not right for us because it causes damage to our daughter. Which I don't agree with.
Yeah, so if you're vaccine injured, then they mock you.
Yeah, they do. They
because you believed in them, and then when it's time to line up again, you say, no, I had a heart attack after the last one, and they laugh at you. It's a cult, that's why. But the cult is winning right now. Or they think they're winning because the fake news supports it fully, and so does the globalist, because they're all about the king of D-pop, Bill Gates.
Yeah, I think I would have to do more research on his family history, but mm-hmm. I do not believe Bill Gates got all the money that he did and all the fame and the fortune and the influence just because of he made the internet, and then he went on to making viruses and antivirus software. And what's he up to now? He's involved in the vaccine industry. And it's like, how do you go through that law? How do you go from science to medicine and not even have a doctorate or anything on the topic?
Well, because he has money and he's liberal.
Yep. You're not wrong.
So we have time to play that Russell Brand clip.
Okay. What's he talking about?
He's talking about Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon getting fired.
Oh, I haven't heard that one yet. I'm curious. Let it roll.
Tucker Carlson has left Fox News and the mainstream media are celebrating. But should they check themselves before they wreck themselves? Because Tucker's departure could be the beginning of the end for the mainstream. Hello there, you 6.4 million awakening wonders. Thanks for joining me on this voyage through truth and freedom on this great day where the mainstream media took a heavy blow. Tucker Carlson has left Fox News, and I see this as a great harbinger, the beginning of the end for the mainstream. A mainstream media that's been reduced to packaging and selling your data. They do it more than even porn sites. Check those facts for yourself. A mainstream media that siphons us off into silos, turns us against one another, plays to the gallery, preaches to the converted, has got nothing original to say, and serves the government rather than the public they were set up to inform. Remember, turn on the notification bell and subscribe right now so that we can continue to bring you great independent content every single day of the goddamn week, 365 days a year, even if it kills us, goddammit. Let's get into the story and see how the mainstream are reporting on Tucker's departure.
Right now, the media landscape is significantly different than it was just 2 hours ago, with two of the highest profile cable hosts out of a job.
Oh yeah, and Don Lemon left CNN as well.
First, the news that Tucker Carlson, who was regularly drawing 3 million viewers a night, parted ways with Fox News. And then, just an hour later, Don Lemon tweeting he is out at CNN after 17 years with that network.
It also shows that the media is obsessed with itself. It's in a sort of narcissistic spiral, reporting on its own perspectives, its own heroes and its own villains. What is the mainstream media supposed to be for? Just for a moment, remind yourself that it's actually about giving you information about important stuff, like how the government are governing, about how corporations are behaving, the information that you need to live your life efficiently and effectively so you're informed politically. It doesn't do that. You know it doesn't do that. You know that the mainstream media is owned by certain corporate interests. You know that it gets all of its revenue from, like, the pharmaceutical industry. You know that they're tied up with the military-industrial complex. And you know that they support the state with only partisan distinctions between this party or that party defining their output. They do not serve in your awakening. They do not serve your empowerment. Where Tucker Carlson goes next will inform us a great deal about our political landscape. If he joins an independent news organization, that's going to be fascinating. It will demonstrate where the power is moving, and it will show us why authoritarian, centralized systems of power are doubling down on trying to censor, control, surveil, prohibit, smear, destroy any alternative voices, because they recognize that now we can all communicate instantaneously and challenge any narrative that they put forward. That's why they've become ultra-propagandists.
The audience tops 3 million on an average night. Viewers drawn to Carlson's far-right opinions on issues from January 6th to immigration.
Far right, da da da. So you can see the opponents of Fox News and the detractors of Tucker use this as an opportunity to talk about the Dominion voting machines, the payouts, and Tucker Carlson being far right. Even if you are a Democrat, even if you are a socialist, to describe Tucker Carlson as far right is the only thing that's extreme that's going on there.
Carlson leaves just days after Fox Corporation settled a defamation lawsuit with Dominion Voting System for $787.5 million.
Much of the reporting of Tucker Carlson's departure has centered on Fox News' recent out-of-court settlement to Dominion, which, of course, is meant to verify Biden's authenticity and legitimacy as a president, and democracy more broadly is successful and functioning. Even if it's legally proven that those Dominion voting machines are effective, democracy itself is obviously broken, and here's just one example of how. Looking at other out-of-court settlements, for example, the pharmaceutical industry regularly settles out of court for much larger sums, and the pharmaceutical industry is the biggest funder of the mainstream media through advertising and commercials. In 2009, the largest healthcare fraud settlement in history, pharmaceutical giant Pfizer, paid $2.3 billion to resolve criminal and civil allegations that the company illegally promoted uses of four of its drugs. So if you were a really ethical organization, you wouldn't go to the mat, go to bat for the pharmaceutical industry while attacking Fox News. Oh, they've paid $787 million. It's the biggest fine in history. What about Pfizer's billions settled out of court? You were happy to promote their product. How often do you see on mainstream media, sponsored by Pfizer?
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer.
They cannot badmouth Pfizer. So them claiming to be ethical organizations is ridiculous. It's a minor difference that they are fetishizing and valorizing because they've got nothing real to offer you. They know they've got nothing real to offer you. In 2020, the pharmaceutical industry spent $4.5 billion US dollars on advertising on national TV in the United States. In 2020, TV ad spending of the pharma industry accounted for 75% of the total ad spend. Okay, so we know that CNN and MSNBC and Fox News are all in bed with the pharmaceutical industry. What's their relationship like with that other titan of US and globalist power, the military-industrial complex? Many of the retired military leaders employed by the networks as paid contributors have secondary affiliations that are rarely, if ever, mentioned, leaving viewers in the dark about whose interests they're promoting. That's why people like Tucker Carlson, because Tucker Carlson attacks the military-industrial complex. Tucker Carlson says, I was wrong to promote the Iraq war. I'm ashamed of it. He sounds like a normal guy. You might not agree with him. You might think he's racist. You might think he's the worst person in the world. Or you might love him. But what the mainstream media, what these authoritarian systems are not acknowledging is we are being stripped of humanity. We're being stripped of real discourse, real connection, real conversation. So people that seem real, they have an impact. And they're going to have an impact because they're operating in a landscape of total corruption where they're posing as pious. On what basis? They take money from the military-industrial complex. They take money from the pharmaceutical industry. They steal your data. They lie to you. And they want you to treat them like they're kind of priests or preachers or people with some kind of moral rectitude. They have none. None of the leading networks, including CNN, Fox, and MSNBC, makes a regular practice of announcing its military analysts' financial ties to the Pentagon, connections that could color their on-air comments. MSNBC is owned by Comcast, a subsidiary of General Electric, the 14th largest defense contractor in the U.S. One wonders if General Electric are out in Taiwan right now, agitating for new contracts when Taiwan and China situation gets a little bit more aggressive. So how can they report honestly and openly? They have deep relationships with corporate and state interests that prevent them from reporting to you openly and honestly. And now, data capture, a significant part of the mainstream media's economic model, is stealing your data, packaging it up, and selling it. So how can they ever report openly on privacy? News outlets entrusted with promoting transparency and privacy are also lobbying behind closed doors against proposals to regulate the mass collection of Americans' data. The Interactive Advertising Bureau, a trade group, reported it was lobbying against a push at the Federal Trade Commission to restrict the collection and sale of personal data for the purpose of delivering advertisements. The IAB represents both data brokers and online media outlets that depend on digital advertising such as CNN, MSNBC, Fox News and dozens of other media companies. So all of them operate within one cohesive unit, capturing your data and selling it to advertisers. It's necessary for them to do that. So they can never do a story, this just in, people are bundling up your data and selling it, even worse than pornography sites do. And it is me. Is it me? Or does the future feel more insecure and uncertain? Wars, pandemics, lies, trickery, my cats keep having kittens, last one person. For those who are in the United States, there is a way to secure your hard-earned nest egg. American Heart for Gold make it easy to protect your savings and retirement accounts with physical gold and silver. With one phone call, they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside a qualifying retirement account like your IRA or 401k. American Heart for Gold is the highest rated firm in the U.S. with an A-plus rating from the BBB and thousands of satisfied clients. Right now, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. This offer is only for U.S. customers. Call 866-505-8315. That's 866-505-8315. Or simply text BRAND to 998899. Get up to $5,000 of silver and protect your future in this crazy, crazy world with some solid precious metals literally made in stars. The lobbying reveals a tension that is rarely a center of the discourse around online privacy. Major media corporations increasingly rely on a vast ecosystem of privacy violations, even as the public relies on them to report on it. In 2020, a study found that news websites contained the most trackers globally, more than business, banking, entertainment, or adult websites. They're worse than porn. While users may turn to the news to learn of ways in which corporations compromise their privacy, it is news sites where we find the greatest risk to privacy, noted the report. That is a literal definition of irony. You might go to a mainstream media news website to learn about privacy. They'll steal your data and sell it while you're doing it. What the Tucker Carlson story points to more broadly is the decay of trust in the mainstream media. Tucker is a powerful voice because people trust him. You might not like him. You might like Don Lemon, who's also left. You might like Jon Stewart, who I think is amazing, who asks difficult questions of people in power. That isn't what I'm saying. You've got the right to like whoever you want to like. What we're discussing is the economic models and how these economic models have been impacted by the technological revolution and how it has impeded their ability to tell you the truth and how it's now impossible for the mainstream media to do anything other than advertise advocate for the state and work for corporate interests. Let's explain why using this fantastic article by Leighton Woodhouse. The era of mass media, during which just a dozen or so giant print and broadcast corporations enjoyed hegemonic control over the national public discourse, lasted about 80 years, beginning roughly a century ago when modern television was born. That era ended 2 decades ago when social media networks emerged. With the cheap, targeted advertising their technology enabled, the new tech platforms destroyed the business model of the mass media. Unable to compete for advertisers, the media mammoths of the 20th century floundered. The entire industry was thrown into a crisis, bleeding revenue and laying off staff. It's economics that's at the heart of this. That is why they are amplifying their message either on the left or the right. Not because they care about the issues. Of course they don't care about the issues any more than Budweiser care about trans issues or blue-collar union issues. They care about selling their product, providing a platform for advertisers. They can't do that effectively anymore because a better model, i.e. this one, currently exists. At the same time, social media began sorting news consumers into hyper-polarized digital silos, shattering the broad political center that the traditional media catered to and relied upon to sell advertisements to a mass audience. The New York Times, CNN, and even Fox News saw their broad national readerships and viewerships contract into smaller and ever more partisan echo chambers, even as ordinary people began to forge horizontal connections with one another online, exchanging information laterally. We have networked communication now. You tell us stuff all the time that we report on. One example being when that Facebook whistleblower came out and we went, oh, that's good, she's standing up to Facebook. All of our comments under the video was like, hold on a minute, they're going to use this information to censor people's communication on Facebook, not to impose regulation on Facebook itself. You were right. We now know that. Our business model and our media model is better because we're listening to you all of the time. We know that our collective intelligence is vast and greater. We know that we're limited. We know that I have personal biases, personal experiences that mean I can't sometimes see the wood for the trees. But we remain engaged with you so that we can evolve a better inclusive narrative that's beyond the political models that are dying, that this article describes as now irrelevant. We are using a model of the center versus the periphery, not the left versus the right. We're going to have to get over that because that's what they're using to keep us separated and divided because that's all they've got now. The public began generating their own autonomous narratives about world events, typically cobbled together eclectically from reports by various news outlets, but beholden to none of them in particular. That's literally what we do here. We look at mainstream media outlets, we find narratives that we believe are helpful to you, we use the information you give us, and we have a conversation about it. It's a better model. We're not beholden to advertisers in the same way. You know we have sponsorship, we require sponsorship, there are people here working. Who do you think's operating this camera? Who do you think's putting all this content together? But what we have is an authentic connection with you. We have the ability to apologize, to respond in real time. The power to shape the national narrative devolved downward, becoming increasingly fractured in the process. That's exactly what should happen. Power should be with you. We should be responding to you. You shouldn't have organizations telling you what to think, a government involved in your life intimately, corporations ignoring your requirements to amass huge profits. You have the power. That's how this should be developing. Martin Gurry, in his book, The Revolt of the Public, describes that now the possibility and necessity for more democracy exists. We have to accept that people live in different communities with different values, ideals and principles. And instead of continually turning against one another, we could devolve democracy. Okay, you want to run your community like this, do you? Oh, you're Muslim. Oh, you're trans. Oh, you're Christian. You're working class. You've got to be able to run your own communities. Instead of turning people against one another in continual fear, you have to allow them to democratically govern their own communities. Or, alternatively, what you could do is centralize authority, censor dissent, smear your opponents and shut down all opposition. That's what they're trying to do. This anarchic new media ecosystem has defined the public discourse ever since. For both elected politicians and the administrative state, it has constituted a perennial crisis. Bureaucracies manage populations by striking bargains with leaders. You can't negotiate with a mob, much less 1,000 of them. from the perspective of the state, this new information landscape was essentially ungovernable. An entire regime of social control helmed by the most powerful politicians in the country, in partnership with the titans of the media industry, was felled. In the age of social media that the new platforms jump started, the state's ability to control world events by playing reporters like pawns on a chessboard withered away as the influence of the media corporations they worked for dissipated. It's no longer to control information in the same way. That's why they are continually trying to introduce ideas that legitimize censorship and control. Oh, look at all this misinformation and disinformation. That's dangerous. What they recognize is that the state's power is diminishing, the traditional media's power is diminishing, the relationship they have with one another are becoming irrelevant. While this seems like a terrifying time, this is an amazing time. This is a time to take the power back. This is a time where you can demand control over your own life and your own community. You can simply say, we don't need you anymore. The political elite stumbled through this bedlam for two decades, but over that time, new gatekeepers emerged to replace those that had faded away with the decline of the mass media. The state created a new apparatus of control over the public discourse, one whose existence most Americans are still oblivious to. Though it has served the momentary partisan interests of both Republicans and Democrats at various times, to the political establishment at large, this flattened, fragmented digital media landscape has been a prolonged disaster. It thwarted the Obama administration's legislative ambitions by fueling the Tea Party. It gave rise to the ascendance of Donald Trump before defying the new president at every step through its constant agitation of a radicalized liberal resistance. During the pandemic, its rebellion against technocratic arrogance and authority drove vaccine hesitancy and opposition to lockdown measures and mask mandates. The pandemic was a unique time where we saw the assertion of authoritarianism by legitimizing its own measures through safety. At the beginning, I think most of us thought this is a unique situation. There is a need for state control and possibly an advantage to pharmaceutical innovation. As it evolved, different narratives began to emerge, and those narratives were controlled and shut down. We all experienced and saw that happen. Let me know in the chat and the comments what you learned during the pandemic period. All the while, it has hastened the shrinking of both major political parties and the growth of independent voters into a clear plurality, and probably any day now, an outright majority of the American electorate. What is emerging is the genuine possibility for a new political movement informed by independent media, enabling you to communicate what you want and how you want your individual, collective, and community life to be run. An emergence of a new federalism and secession in America could be the result of this, maybe should be the result of this, because who wants to spend the rest of their life arguing about gun control, not gun control, abortion, not abortion, progressivism, traditionalism, when it's possibly true that there are different ways of doing it? Do you imagine there might be tribes in Iceland that live differently from people in Senegal? Or why don't we put them in a room and kill each other until they agree whether it's better to eat fish or antelope? You know, this ridiculous way to live life. Let people be who they are. Here's a quote from a behemoth of the mainstream media, the New York Times, that indicates where we are in the media landscape right now. A majority of American voters across nearly all demographics and ideologies believe their system of government does not work, said the Times. We all think that now, whether you're on the right, the left, in the middle, a radical, an anarchist, a traditionalist, a progressivist, you recognize that government doesn't work anymore. They know that, and they know you know that. What they're trying to prevent is the natural evolution of those ideas. Hang on, we need different systems of government now, don't we? Why are we living with ideas that are hundreds of years old when we now have the technology to live more democratically? The only way to prevent the natural evolution of the way that power and community works is to bludgeon us with misinformation, to destroy and smear leaders in the space, and double down on authoritarianism, censorship, surveillance, control. In this instance, the media and the government have the same interest, the preservation of the old model, to prevent it dying. It's being continually defibrillated because actually it's dying. And you can see that very clearly in the figure of Joe Biden. An old octogenarian dying model is being trotted out for another 4 years when whoever we are, left or right, we know it's over. In the censorship industrial complex, the political establishment finally found a solution to the problem that plagued it for 20 years. Stripped of their erstwhile ability to control events by concentrating its massive influence on a handful of well-positioned producers, editors, reporters, and media executives, the political elite found new gatekeepers to replace those it had lost. The executives who run the tech platforms can't control the content of the news, but they can restrict our ability to see it. And that's exactly what's happening now. Tucker was an anomaly, an outlier. Whether you think he's racist or you don't like him, or whether you love him and think he's the next Jesus, what you have to accept is he was out of step with the cadence of ordinary mainstream rhetoric. That's why I predict he'll find himself in an independent news space now, perhaps with more power than ever, simply because our state systems, our systems of government, our systems of media, our systems of finance are dying because of our new technological and communication power, thanks to the geniuses that came up with these amazing devices and tools. We now can communicate collectively, individually, democratically. There's no reason for the degree of centralized power that we've had for the last century when we have new models and new possibilities. We have to investigate them together. We have to demand them. It is our democratic right. We shouldn't be pinioned between two parties that ultimately work for the same elite financial and corporate organizations anymore. Demand democracy, demand freedom, demand independent media. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the comments below. If you enjoyed this video, have a look at either of these. Turn on the notification bell. We need you. We rely on you. We are in an open dialogue with you. More important than any of that, though, is that you please, if you can, stay free.
All right, so that was Russell Brand from earlier today.
A lot of what he said actually kind of echoes Mike Adams that I just watched a little bit before jumping on here. Mike Adams was saying that he sees in the future we are going to have a non... We're not going to have a system that is basically pay for play. You're not going to be able to control the narrative with giving money to certain platforms because it'll be something people are getting sick and tired of, and they're going to create their own free platform, which is what that made me think of. But back to him. I agree pretty much with what he said, and I would say this, when it comes to the two-party system, the way it's set up for us, I mean, unless a party, a third party, gets 5% of the vote, they cannot be on the in the conversations. They don't get all the commercial privileges, all that stuff, unless they've got money, of course. But our third parties, I'm pretty sure, have been snuffed out decently by fraud. So all we have are the two parties. And it kind of makes me wonder what, again, as we said earlier, like exactly where is Tucker going to go? Is he going to make his own thing? And he obviously has the followers. He made... what, every night he would get on there, what was it, 3 million views?
Yeah, well, Fox News wants to be CNN, so that's, I guess they're okay with that. So they're going to go by way of Bed Bath & Beyond and Bud Light. They'll lose their money, which they already are, and they'll be okay with that. Because it's all about the message. It's not about the money.
Yep. And that's exactly what I thought, actually, that I was like, are they trying to outdo Bud Light? Because this is going to get bad. But, okay, with something that he mentioned, did Tucker quit or was he fired?
See, I think he was fired, but I don't know. I can't confirm that.
See, that's the thing that since this happened, I've been trying to figure out, and there actually isn't a single article that flat out tells you. They're just like, oh, well, this was his last episode, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a goodbye episode. So I don't think it was something that was planned originally,
right.
at least. So, yeah, I could see him being fired. Would make the most sense. But you also have the people on the news station saying, oh, he left.
Well, yeah, but they're fake news. So whatever they say, just believe the opposite.
Yeah. What I try to tend to do. Oh, and then on the conversation of like freedom of speech in general, what exactly do we, outside of making our own platform, at this point, the people who basically control us, what are we supposed to do? I guess is my question that I keep asking. How do we fight money? How do we fight connection? How do we fight outside of coming together, I really don't see an easy way.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
We'll use Barefoot as Legal as an example. And what I've said before, and it could be all social medias, I guess, but I'll just use Facebook because that's where you and I met. So in order to be somewhat effective, we need 1 million followers on our business page with at least 100,000 being active. Probably more of like 250,000 people being active. And then
that's
we'll start having a bunch of wins. So we're at about 10% the goal.
Slowly but surely, you're getting there.
Well, at least we're in the ball. We're on the field now. We're not winning right now, but we're on the field.
Which at the end of the day is a very big step.
But the thing is that in order to, because I started with just me, so it's not like you can't do something, and having the reach that we have isn't exactly bad. I mean, it could be a lot better, but we've put out some numbers, but we're nowhere close to where we need to be. And I think the American public is in that same boat because a lot of people agree with the thought. Nobody wants to do anything because they believe that somebody else will do it.
I have run across people with those arguments, and the only really thing I have to say to that is, who then? Who is it? Who is running? Who is who? You're saying someone will do it. Who?
You. Anybody but me.
Yeah, pretty much. People who have topics they're passionate about, they won't run. They don't have time. They've got family they have to take care of, so why should it be them?
I think I talked about this yesterday as far as having a family, or people say, I can't do anything. I have a job. Well, I have a job. I run a business. I run a nonprofit, and I have a family. and I'm still here 4 nights a week, 3 hours a night. So nobody could tell me that they can't do once a week.
No, I guess go try and do a double.
The answer
advocate.
Is when they say I don't have time, that's the real answer is I don't feel like doing it. That's the real answer.
Right. Yeah, at the end of the day, I could see that being the hidden answer behind it, or just simply, I guess for some people, would also be, I don't know how, but if all they're doing is getting on somewhere to talk and bring light to these issues, that's all you have to do. If that is the only thing that you can do, if you reach only one person and make them aware of the dangers or reality of what's going on, and they're mm-hmm. actually opening, listening, you have done your job, even if it is one person. So I do get it, that one night a week, you can do one night a week to talk or maybe go to a town meeting, which is usually only 1 month or 1 day a month, at least
yeah.
in my area. And I guess it's just rallying the people to actually get up to do that is a hard thing. I feel like the majority of our population is just apathetic at best. I feel like there's just a disconnect from society and everything on there. But, I want to get people together. I want us to be able to go and voice our opinion outside of, if you talk to someone every day, you're not going to reach someone that way. I've tried that. You have face-to-face conversations, and these people get irate. They get angry. I can't say I haven't had those reactions myself in the past. I have, so I understand it, but you have to be open, and when you're not open is when you get angry and you want to shut everything down. So I guess then my question is, how do we open people up to the topic without triggering them?
We have to get loud like the liberals do, and we can't worry about triggering people. They need to hear it enough, but...
All the time
for rebelling, unfortunately, is over for the night. We reached the final few seconds of the show. So thank you, Kayla. I guess we'll talk on Tuesday next week. Everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just a negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. And forest fires. I am negative, I am blue.